James chapter 3 for the preaching of the word of God, the third chapter of the book of James. We'll get our Bibles prepared. James chapter number 3. And let's look, if we could, at verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. And use the Bible to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Upon beginning our study through the book of James, we were reminded, or taught, if you would, that his focus is on spiritual maturity. When you become a Christian, you become a babe in Christ. But God don't want you to be a baby forever. Somebody say amen. We ought to grow in the Lord, to grow in grace. And the issues that James is dealing with, the issues that James is dealing with in this book, are issues that are all due to spiritual immaturity. And the reason why the people of God were not responding properly in the work and the way of God is because they were immature. So he picks up his pen and he deals with trials and he deals with faith and he deals with the issue of the tongue. We began in chapter number 1 dealing with James's issue of spiritual maturity, growing up by dealing with your battles, growing up by dealing with your Bible, growing up by dealing with your beliefs. And then in chapter 3 we move further, growing up by dealing with your behavior. How many of you are learning in the Christian life? We face some battles. Say amen. But aren't you glad in the midst of our battles we have a Bible? Amen. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Extra, extra. Read all about it. It took the Bible to get us in the family of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if the Bible can get you saved, then the Bible can keep your saved self living holy for God. And then you got to believe right. I believe right, according to James chapter 2. No, you don't, if you don't live right. Faith without works is dead. Oh, you say I have faith? Yeah, the devils do too. They believe and tremble. They're afraid of God. But the kind of Christian life that God wants you to live is not living it because you're afraid of God, but living it because you love God. We love him because he first loved us. He demonstrated his love by giving his son. We demonstrate our love by giving our lives to him. Devilish faith. A lot of people have it. But it's not the kind of faith that pleases God. Dead faith. What do you mean? That's faith that never leaves here and gets here. Amen. That's an intellectual understanding of God. I understand the Bible. I understand the sentence structure. I understand the verbs. I understand the meaning. I understand he left heaven. He hung on the cross. He died. He bled and suffered. Theologically, I'm processing that in my mind, but practically, it's never hit my heart. Therefore, I'm like a body in a casket, dressed up, looking good, paraded through, even got people complimenting. He sure looked like himself. But But he can't go nowhere. He can't do anything. You talk to him, he can't talk back. Come on now. You invite him over, he can't have a conversation with you. Why? There's no life in him. Listen, dead faith may be an intellectual Christian sitting on a church pew, quoting the scripture, singing in the choir, working in a ministry, but there's no life in him. Life comes from the living word of God, the living spirit of God. We don't need devilish faith. We don't need dead faith. We need dynamic faith, which is always accompanied by works. So James is dealing with our belief. And then in chapter 3, he's dealing with our behavior. And one of the behaviors that he's dealing with in chapter 3 is the use of our tongue. We're talking about growing up. Everybody say, grow up.
Grow up.
Well, part of that is bridling your tongue. When I'm mature in the Lord, I just have this one struggle. Don't lie to yourself. Part of your maturity is reflected in how you use your tongue. And so James is really trying to snap our attention here in James chapter number 3 and really try to lasso us into understanding the magnitude of what this tongue can do. We saw this chapter began with an important warning. Be not many masters. James said, be careful. In some categories, you'd be better to be a student and not a teacher. Because in this area, if you want to get in front of the class, understand that with excessive ambition comes expected accountability. And if you're going to stand up in front, you better know what you're doing. And he said, many want to strive to be masters. The word doctors there or teachers there. They want to be in charge. But to be in charge, you must be held to a higher standard. Be careful about tooting your Christian horn. You're not willing to walk what you talk. We saw the informative word about the tongue. In many things we offend. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, which also is able to bridle the whole body. The obvious point is that we're all offensive in some area. The overwhelming phenomenon is that any of us could actually bridle the tongue. And the Bible says if you can control your tongue, you're perfect. And obviously none of us can do that. Would you say amen? So the obvious point is that we all offend. The overwhelming phenomenon is to bridle the tongue. And the only person that ever could do that was the only man who was not a sinner. And that's Jesus Christ himself. Never once made a mistake with his tongue. Now the intriguing wonders about the tongue are what we've looked at the last couple of weeks. Number one, the underestimated tongue. Don't you downplay it. James gives us some referenced analogies. He speaks, if you would, about the nature's beast, the horse. I mean, it's a large horse, but it's controlled by a little harness. It's a big animal. And yet that big animal is steered by a little bit. He talked about the navigational boat in addition to nature's beast. It's of significant construction. It's involved in swaying conditions, yet it has a small control. It's large, but the helm is small. As the small bit controls the big horse, as the little helm controls the large ship, be careful. Your little tongue will control your whole body. Be careful. In other words, James is saying, don't downplay the potential of something based on its size. By the way, that can work on the other end in a good way too. I mean, it was a little lunch, but it fed 5,000 people. They were 12 men, but they turned the world upside down. I mean, they were little struggling Macedonians, but they set the example for grace giving all around the world. I'm simply saying your tongue is small and it can do a lot of danger, but your tongue is small that can do a lot of good. You can mess somebody up with your little tongue, but you can also share the greatest message that mankind has ever heard, and that's that Jesus saves. So that's how you use it. It's not all bad. Just how you use it. It's an instrument. So the underestimated tongue, the relevant application of this petite member, this proud mouth that boasts, it lifts up the neck is what the word means. It becomes very haughty. The tongue is such a small instrument, yet it sure does a lot of bragging. Somebody help me preach. Be careful. Be careful about bragging. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Pride come before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Come on. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Isn't it amazing? When God decided in scripture to give us a list of things he hated, what you think made number one? Proud look. I mean, in the list of the things that God hates, pride ranks number one. I don't know. I don't think I'd like to write on my spiritual resume in the fine print, I exemplify the thing God hates the most. Sure got the devil kicked out of heaven. Amen. And if the devil was willing to get, if God was willing to get rid of his choicest angel, don't you think you're not dispensable? May God help us. The untamed tongue. A destructive fire. Look what a fire can do. How great a matter a little fire kindles. Verse 5. It starts small and then next thing you know it burns up a whole forest. That's what the context is there. How great a matter. It doesn't have to start big. It just has to start. There's no such thing as a potentially undangerous fire. Well, you say, well, we have them in the fireplace. Listen to me. I'm not saying that you can't have a fire in the fireplace. I'm just simply saying that fire has the potential of being dangerous if it's not kept in check. And it started in a little fireplace, but if unchecked, it'll burn down your whole house. Destructive fire. Notice the dangerous force. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Boy, it's got a force to it. A world of iniquity. Cosmos it is in the Greek. The world as it's created and set in order. When the word world is used in scripture, it's talking about the whole gamut that God created. And notice what the scripture said. The tongue is a world of iniquity. It ain't a little problem. It's sin in the whole matter, he says. Wow. It's defiling filth. The whole body. Oh, Pastor, it's really the only area where I'm just taking my time getting right. Well, while you take your time, get that one thing right, that one thing wrong will mess up everything else right. You have to keep your tongue in check. Peter had problems with that, didn't he? I said, Peter had problems with that, didn't he? We'll talk about that just a moment. The disastrous function of the tongue. Defiling filth, but disastrous function. It setteth on fire the course of nature. We talked about these words last year. Setteth on fire last week. It means to burn up. The course has the idea to be a wheel. The whole nature, the whole genesis of nature, the whole round of human activity. The whole sphere of what we're doing. It sets on body the whole sphere of what we're doing. And it's set on the fire of hell. Are you listening to me? As destructive as hellfire is, so is your tongue's fire. The whole course of nature. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, James 3 says. Throw that out. You put a band-aid what the stick hurt. You can put some ointment on what the stone did. He said, but that tongue will do more than break your skin and scar your flesh. It can ruin your life. The demonstrated feet. He says every kind of beast, every bird, every serpent, things in the sea, tame, have been tamed. I mean, we go to circuses and go to these fancy animal shows and they take these ferocious beasts And they get in a cage with them. I was reading this week about a man sleeping with his snake. You say, that's remarkable. No, that's dumb.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And there are a few that claim to be snake handlers under the guise of religion. Some of them have died too. And the crocodile hunter and all of them. Hey, I swim with a crocodile and he died from a stingray. Something God don't mean for you to be swimming with. Amen. And sleeping with. And petting and raising. Amen. Dogs, cats. No, excuse me. Dogs. So what about cats? They're for the Chinese restaurants. Dead. Get you some cat foo young. Cat fried rice. Cat combination lo mein. General Tso's cat. Anyway, I'm not a cat fan. I'm just not a cat fan. You say, Pastor, I am. Well, ain't gonna be no cats in heaven. You say, how do you know that? Because heaven's a wonderful place. And, you know, ain't gonna be. We're gonna actually get some Chinese food made from something that's not cat. We can get a lion to let a man pet him. A preacher friend of mine by the name of Randy Dignan, he goes to Bahamas. He swims with the sharks. He says, Brother Baldwin, I'd love to get you out here swimming with the shark. I said, let me tell you something. First of all, black people don't even like water. I mean, we get in the shower in the morning, that's about it. We ain't all into these pools and waves and all of that, you know. I went to a football game yesterday, and I said, where are all the black folk? I looked over in the shade. That's where they are. You know? Black folk gonna find the shade because we don't need a tan. You see, we were born with one. I don't know what I was talking about. I was talking about taming beasts. I wasn't calling y'all beasts now. But it's amazing. All these animals can be tamed. And yet this tongue. I mean, how can you get a lion to let a man pet him? But you can't get a man to get his mouth in check. I mean, God said, you're going to need more than some techniques of a tamer to do this. You're going to need God. Amen. You can be the most skilled person in every area of life, but when it comes to bridling your tongue, it's a God thing, and only spiritual maturity that works from the inside out will ensure you the victory of bridling your tongue. See, write this down now. Thirdly, I want to talk about not just this underestimated tongue, this untamed tongue. I want to talk about this unruly tongue. This is where we'll speak just a few moments and we'll close. It is an unruly evil. I mean, you can't trust it. That's what he's saying. When it comes to the tongue, write down, predictable disloyalty. It's an unruly, I mean, you set it down, you give it instruction. Now listen here. I'm getting ready to go see this person. We're going to have a meeting. Don't you act up. You hear me? Now that person's going to say some things to you that you don't like, but you bite yourself. Absolutely. I'm not going to say anything. Now you're laughing. How many of you have been through this? You had a huddle with your tongue, and you said, don't lose it. Don't lose it. I'm not going to lose it. Say it three times. I'm not going to lose it. I'm not going to lose it. I'm not going to lose it. You went in that meeting, and you lost it. And yet you can take a lion and tell him, all right, we're going to get out in front of all these people, and when I tell you to lift up and bounce down and lay down and let me pet you, lift up, bounce down, and lay down and let me pet you. You go out in that show, and it lifts up, bounce down, and lays down and lets you pet it. But you go right back to this tongue. Now, we're going in this meeting, and don't you lose it, and it loses it. It's unruly. Predictable disloyalty. Your tongue will be with you today and against you tomorrow. Poisonous doom. Full of deadly poison. It speaks and venom goes out. You ever met people who just had a way of poisoning you with your tongue, with their tongue? When he speaks, something in me moves in a way that is not healthy. It's that tongue. You ever said this to yourself? I don't know why that person gets to me. Don't get quiet. That don't mean you don't do it. You don't want to say amen because you're admitting poisonous doom. Write down what I called here a poignant dichotomy of the tongue. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father. And therefore, therewith, curse we men. Therewith we bless, therewith we curse. I mean, the tongue kind of has a dichotomy, doesn't it? Blessing and cursing. It's what I call proper blessing. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. That's what people do in church. And then they get in the car. Shut up. You dummy. Same mouth. I mean, not even out the parking lot. Curse it. See, on one end, the tongue does proper blessing. On the other end, the tongue does what I call painful bashing. Same tongue. I mean, it's a dichotomy. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Not two different characters. Two different functions from the same character. Same tongue. Have you ever heard somebody speak and thought, he said that? Yeah, that's his voice. Yeah, that's her voice. I know the tone. I mean, you would have never thought Sister So-and-so, testifying Sister So-and-so, shouting Brother So-and-so, encouraging Usher So-and-so would sound like that on social media. See, do you hear what I said? You gave yourself a pep talk not to be unruly. And then you got in the middle of that social media and you forgot the pep talk. And you got people trying to figure out which you are. Somebody help me preach. By the way, gentlemen, be careful. When one side of your dichotomy is so kind and so cordial to all the ladies in the church, but you don't know how to talk to your own wife. Somebody say amen. Oh, that's a beautiful dress. You ever thought about saying that to the one that belongs to you that's wearing one? Well, I didn't notice that. Well, you might have wandering eyes. Preach, Pastor. I'm trying to. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I'm talking about the tongue. A lot of men got in trouble because they couldn't control their tongue. Fresh. That wasn't in my notes. But the Holy Ghost has a way of adding in. Watch your tongue! Can I talk to the young people? Good evening, sir. Good evening, ma'am. So good to see you at church. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And the people at church say, oh, they're such a polite child. But don't know how to talk to their parents. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm having a fundraiser at my school. I would wonder if you would kindly grace me with your sanctified funds. and get to the parents. I don't want to go to church. Getting complimented by the church members. Oh, your halo is so nicely constructed. Mom and daddy said, check out the horns underneath. Same tone. The dichotomy. You listen to me. You're not pleasing God just because you can pull off some good words out of your tongue. Spiritual maturity is not the ability to say things in the moment. It's the ability to demonstrate consistency that can only be produced by the Spirit of God. Yeah, there's poignant dichotomy of the tongue. By the way, the God you're blessing is the God that made the men you're cursing in his image. Don't miss that little clause in the sentence. Well, I'm all good about praising the Lord. He never did me wrong. Well, you can't praise the Lord with your tongue and then bless the people that the Lord made in his image. How can you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother that you see every day? Let me close with this last point. Don't say amen. Who was that? Angie Damper? Thank you for being a great sermon illustration. It's with the tongue and then bash with the tongue. Thank you, Angie. You're a great object lesson for the preacher. If you didn't believe me, you just saw it. Amen. The pitiful duplicity of the tongue. Duplicity is double nature. Sometimey. Back and forth. Wishy-washy. Up and down. Two-faced it. Work with me, Jeff. Work with me, Jeff. You can't tell we only practice 5 minutes. We're doing pretty good. We're booking meetings, too. Tag team. Baldwin and Boomy. But you know what? He said, look at the duplicity of this tongue. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. Whew. I want you to notice, if you would, this serious repetition that he tells us. It's just, and by the way, that the whole connotation there in that sentence is coming and going, back and forth, coming and going, back and forth. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and curses. It's just going back and forth. Just tongue, just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's almost straight down the line, 50-50. It works half the time for good and half the time for bad. Duplicity. It isn't sold out to either side. Out of the same mouth coming blessings, and it's learned to do this so often that it doesn't even take knowledge of it. I mean, people know they cuss. I didn't know. Yeah, you do. You just convince yourself it's fine as long as you don't do it in church. Or in a scene where you lose your job, or and where somebody godly would overhear you. Then you forget to remember. Oops. I'm sorry, that slipped out. No, it didn't slip out. It was poking out all day. It didn't slip out. It's been there. You just forgot to zip it in. It didn't slip out. It's the only kind of stuff that can slip out is stuff that's already in there. The best thing for never having anything slip out your mouth is to never have it in your mouth and preach, pastor, in the first place. Can only come out if you put it in. I know foolishness is bound. I know that we're sinners. But some stuff that we do is not oops. He says there's a very serious repetition, and then there's a straightforward rebuke here, and this is where we'll close. Listen to James. These things ought not so to be. Listen. Here's what he's saying. Don't let the frequency and don't let the habitual nature and don't let the common practice of Christians with dirty mouths convince you to thinking it's okay. Don't let that happen. And by the way, one of the ways that Christian people have adopted carnal language is by listening and watching too much of it. Amen. Listening to and watching too much of it. I mean, the more you hear it, the less you think about it. And the less you think about it, the more apt you are to doing it and not knowing it. Amen. That's why you got to guard what goes in. Because eventually it's going to come out. James said, these things ought not so to be. Let's get back to where it once was, that a child of God is indicative and characterized by a clean mouth. There's no such thing as a good cussing Christian, a good lying Christian, a good dirty mouth Christian. He's one or the other. These things ought not so to be. Amen. And just because the world has made it easier for us that we don't actually have to say it with our mouth, we just can type it with our fingers, doesn't make it any less sinful. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, just because the president cussed don't make cussing right. You run and tell that. It's still vile and disgusting and degrading and embarrassing and a horrific demonstration of leadership to our young people. And by the way, before you go harp on leaders that do it, make sure that you're not the first line of authority that does it. And I've said it, but I'm grown. Okay. You tell me we're in the Bible, there's a grown Bible and an adolescent Bible. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And that includes them Christian cuss words too, that don't make the profanity list, but they make God's judgment list. They're demeaning, they're disgusting, they're intolerable, they've been common nature, and they're used on a regular basis. But they're deadly. And they are depositing venom into the minds of those to whom we speak. And James says, I don't care who's saying it on the movies, and I don't care how often. They don't bleep them out on television anymore. And I don't care who famous is saying them. Let me tell y'all people who've been born again and washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ that you just finished shouting about 20 minutes ago. These things ought not so to be. And if you grow up in the Lord, not only will they not so to be, they won't be. May God help us. Our Father, a child of God who doesn't think he needs to take this tongue more seriously as a child of God who needs to grow up more. Help us to be cautious and careful and committed. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. God spoke to you.